You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free, 347-215-7771.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the CLNS Media Celtics postgame show, brought to you by betonline.ag. If you want to bet some money and make some money, you're going to want to go over to betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use promo code CLNS50 for 50% cash back on your first deposit. So again, you're going to head over to clnsmedia.com/win, use promo code CLNS50 for 50% cash back on your first deposit. March Madness is right in the thick of it. We're approaching basketball playoffs. Baseball is just kicking off. So there's a bunch of opportunity for you to put some money down and make some money. My name is Taylor McLeod. I'll be here for the next hour breaking down all the action from the Celtics 196 loss to the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I've done this show a couple times in the last, handful of weeks. Every time I come on, it seems like I'm talking about how I'm disappointed in the Celtics because they went out there and they just couldn't get it done. And unfortunately, the exact same thing happened tonight. They went into Brooklyn, second night of a back-to-back, coming off a big win against Indiana last night, jumped up into the four seed. And for the first quarter, they played well. And then from there on out, it was all over. The Nets really jumped them and just, did anything they wanted for the remainder of their game. D'Angelo Russell had a 20-point third quarter after only having, four or so points in the first half. He finished with 29. Caris LeVert had 15. Damari Carroll had 13. Joe Harris had 13 to round out the Nets' double-digit scores. Jarrett Allen had 10. There's a couple ways to look at a game like this. I prefer really a preference, but I tend to stand on the more optimistic side of things. Not necessarily looking for silver linings, but I don't give up on teams that quickly. However, recently in my appearances on the show, I've been more critical of the Celtics. I've been harder on certain players that I've really rooted for in the past. And I could go that way tonight. I could chalk it up to it's a 6 p.m. game on a Saturday. The Celtics were without their best two players in Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. Al was resting a sore left knee. Kyrie was resting a sore lower back. Jason Tatum was limited tonight. He was sick, and he certainly played like it. There's games like this are supremely frustrating because while it is easy to chalk it up to a schedule loss, the Celtics were, like I said, second night of a back-to-back, just got a big win over a playoff team. A weird time, 6 p.m. on a Saturday. You're going into Brooklyn. Brooklyn's, really fighting for a playoff spot. Came in tonight 38-38 in that 7 seed with the Heat and Magic really nipping at their heels in the 8 and 9 seeds. And they played like they wanted it more from really, like I said, the second quarter on. And while it was a weird game, while it does feel like a schedule loss, it doesn't feel like that to me. Tonight's game was one of the more frustrating performances from Brad Stevens I've seen in quite some time. Kyrie Irving and Al Horford are out. Those are your two best players. And I understand that when Kyrie's out, Terry starts, and when one of the wings is out, Marcus Morris, who had been a starter for most of the season, recently got moved back to the bench. Normally he would start. But you're looking at a team that the two players that have most negatively affected their performance, in my opinion, in the opinion of many others, and if you look at the numbers, the two players that have most negatively impacted the Celtics' performance this season have been Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris. Both guys got the start tonight, Terry at point guard, Marcus at his customary three or four. Those are kind of interchangeable. And first look at the box score, if you organize it by points, you see that Gordon Hayward had 19 to lead the Celtics. Daniel Tice had 16, and Marcus Morris had 16. So, you know, initially look at it. All right, Mook had a good game, 4 from 11, not great, 36.5%. Hit 2 or 3 threes, that's 66.7, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. Seems like a fine game for Marcus Morris, right? Scroll on over, negative 19 in the plus minus. Go down to Terry Rozier, who also got the start, played 27 minutes. Scored 2 points on 8 free field goal attempts, minus 23. Those two guys who Celtics fans as a whole have been so hard on all season really, really, really negatively impacted how the Celtics played today. And I don't think it's for lack of effort. I don't think it's for anything they're doing on purpose. I think it's just at this point in the season, we've seen over and over and over again that these two guys are really struggling to get it done. And tonight was another example of it, man. I mean, outside of the 16 points from Morris, nothing they did seemed to really have a positive impact. Marcus Morris, how many times did he dribble into the paint, up fake twice, pivot 4 times, and then throw a ball off the rim? I mean, Terry Rozier gets that rebound or gets that outlet from a big who just got the board, pushes it up ahead, kicks it out of bounds, or, you know, dribbles in a circle and throws up a contested three with 19 seconds on the shot clock. You just can't have that. Not when you're playing against, you know, a playoff hopeful team in your conference. And I understand it that this game was an uphill battle. You don't have Kyrie Irving. You don't have Al Horford. Jason Tatum's sick. He's playing, but he's sick. It's an uphill battle. But I think if you throw Jalen and Gordon Hayward into the starting lineup, you have a different result. For the last, I'll say, month and a half, it seemed to me that Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown have both played with another level of purpose that we haven't necessarily seen from a lot of Celtics players this season. And I think that when their best lineups have been out there, we've seen it. When they you know, rattled off a couple wins a couple weeks ago, a win like last night, you have the full team out there. Kyrie Irving seals it with that layup. And tonight, great opportunity, you'd think, for Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown to really dominate, really run everything. Gordon Hayward took advantage, scored 19 points on 12 field goal attempts, you know, 58.3% from the field, 66.7% from the line, 1 of 3 from three. -8, obviously don't like to see that negative, but it happens. Played 28 minutes. Jaylen Brown played 31 minutes, didn't play as well if you're just looking at the box score. Only scored 9 points on 3 of 10 shooting, hit 2 free throws, 1 3, -10. But I think there's more to this game than the box score, and you know, despite the fact that I am a very numbers-heavy person on this show, those two players just play with a different sense of purpose. They seem to be two of the only guys after those starters, excluding Marcus Morris, who seems to have a feel for his teammates' tendencies, or at least seems to pay attention to what his teammates want. I mean, we're back to the point right now where Iso Mook is dominating time of possession when he has the ball. Not necessarily numbers wise, but when he has the ball, he's dribbling it over and over again, self a shot. He's not swinging the ball. He's not necessarily a black hole, because that would go on to say that he's playing selfishly. And I don't think he or Rozier are on purpose playing selfishly to take shots away from their teammates. I don't think that. I just think that those two guys have had the toughest time. It was Jaylen for a while, but he seems to have figured it out, especially coming off the bench. But those two guys cannot seem to adapt their game to anything except for what they do best. And that's a problem for a team with legitimate title aspirations. You can't have Terry Rozier, the only time he excels is when he's starting. And that's ironic to say it tonight, because like I said, the guy gets the start and scores 2 points. But we've seen him go off for these, you know, 30-point games, these triple-doubles. Milwaukee series last year in the playoffs, he really had a couple huge performances against Philly too. He was great in the playoffs all as a starter, and he was great at the tail end of the regular season as a starter. But that cannot be the only place to excel. And then when you get the opportunity to be a starter, you know, even if it's just for one game, you just turn in such a poor performance. You can't have that from a team that has legitimate title aspirations. Regardless of how this season has gone, regardless of the turmoil that's been in the Celtics locker room, or reportedly been in the Celtics locker room, allegedly, you can't have that. You can't have that type of performance on another tonight. I understand we're close to the end of the season. I understand it's a weird game. I understand that there's circumstances that maybe I'm not taking into account. But 2 points from the guy who was supposed to be a big-time free agent, the guy who many said was just as good as Kyrie or 80% of Kyrie, you can't have 2 points from that guy. And Marcus Morris, regardless of the points, like I said, I know it's tough to say regardless of the points and then, you know, big up someone like Jalen who didn't score as many points, but there's obviously more to this game. And being out in New York, I'm in Syracuse, New York right now. I had to watch the Nets broadcast, and throughout the commentary, Jalen's playing some good defense, and they called him an elite defender, and that's not something you can say about Marcus Morris. For the guy who used to fancy himself the LeBron stopper, how many backdoor cuts behind him down the middle of the paint tonight? How many times did D'Angelo Russell isolate Terry Rozier on the corner, you know, drive and, you know, drop it down to someone cutting it through the lane right behind Marcus Morris? How many times did that happen? And I understand that there's instances where that didn't happen, instances where both guys played good. I thought Terry did a good job fighting through screens, which is something Brad has talked about for the last couple of weeks. I liked his energy on defense. He had a nice deal in the first half where I believe it was D'Angelo drove hard left and Terry just stripped him, took the ball, and, you know, was going the other way. And the thing about this team is they just can't play consistently. They go on these 5 to 6 minute stretches where they're playing really good ball. And you look at a night like last night, they're fortunate that stretch comes right at the end of the game and you get that last layup by Kyrie. But tonight, you finished the first quarter. I believe it was 21-17 after the first quarter. And I felt confident. I thought the Celtics were playing well. Everyone seemed to be in a good rhythm, energy. Jalen shot a couple of air balls. But outside of that, you know, Gordon Hayward was looking pissed off, looking angry, which is normally a good sign for him. And then the second quarter, things started to get out of hand. And then that third quarter, D'Angelo Russell puts up 20 points and the Celtics couldn't do anything. At one point, the lead was 19. The Celtics got it within 11 at the end of the quarter, which was, you know, good to see that they had some resiliency. But, I mean, that's a pretty pathetic silver lining as a, you know, cutting into a lead in the third quarter. There's a lot of talk that the Celtics are better without Kyrie Irving, and coming in tonight, they were 11-2 in games he didn't play. One of those two losses was against Brooklyn the night before Thanksgiving when, you know, the Celtics went to New York City and just got their doors blown off. But this narrative that the team plays better without Kyrie and that the Celtics are a different team without Kyrie is just ridiculous to me. Recently, I've been seeing a lot of chirping that Jason Tatum plays a little bit better when Kyrie's off the floor. He scores more. He plays more aggressively. And I understand he's sick tonight. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. But what I saw from Jason Tatum tonight, not to lump him in with Marcus Morris and Terry Rozier, because those are two completely different kind of problems. But you look at Jason Tatum, he scores 9 points on 4-9 shooting, negative 12 plus minus. And this guy... I'm so tired of seeing Jason Tatum up fake a three, slide step left, dribble around a guy, dribble into the paint, step back to the free throw lane, and then front rim that fadeaway jumper. I'm so sick of it. And recently, another thing that I've seen out of him is slide stepping that three, dribbling past his defender, trying to cross over in the paint and getting the ball stolen from him. We've harped on the fact that the Celtics don't get to the free throw line. They're 29th in free throws season. They don't get to the free throw line. I think that's a huge issue for them. I don't think that's a sustainable model to try to get all your points off field goals. Despite the fact that they are a decent field goal shooting team, especially catch and shoot, trying to rely solely on that, I understand they're well coached. I understand they have a lot of good passers, a lot of good shooters. You cannot rely on that, especially not in a game like tonight. When it starts to get away from you, sometimes you just have to put your head down and get to the rim. Gordon Hayward did it tonight. Couple almost and once. Jaylen Brown got to the line a couple times, didn't shoot particularly well from the line. And even Jason Tatum did get to the line once, but he has so many opportunities where he can take a smaller defender, even a bigger defender, and just take them to the rim and get to the free throw line. I mean, this guy has aspirations to be a superstar, right? Well, superstars take the ball to the rim and get to the line. Look at James Harden. Not advocating for Jason Tatum to play like James Harden in any sense. That would be foolish. Their games aren't the same. But just look how many times, I mean, Harden went out tonight, put up, you know, 50-plus points again. That comes from the free throw line, and it's like the Celtics are allergic to it, man. Tatum had one play tonight where he was dribbling down from the left wing, and a Nets defender reached down, held both of his arms down. But instead of going up hard through that and getting that, you know, contact, getting that obvious show of contact, that obvious show that there was a foul there, Jason Tatum kind of just casually keeps dribbling, gets the ball stripped, throws his hands up at the ref. Referee doesn't see it. Nothing happens. Going the other way, and you come out with 110-96 loss to the Nets. Want to remind everyone that the betonline.ag toll-free call lines are 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Call me. We can talk about Nets Celtics. We can talk about Celtics big picture, anything involving the Seas. If you're interested, give me a call. That's 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. A couple players that I don't think are going to get the necessarily the recognition they deserve, and they don't deserve a ton of recognition, but I thought Brad Wanamaker played all right tonight. He did foul out in 13 minutes, but I thought that was the result of a couple ticky-tack fouls. Throughout the whole game, it felt like the Nets were at the line all the time. All the time. And it didn't really feel like the Celtics were getting the line. I just went on that rant about how the Celtics don't get the line, but they shot their fair amount of free throws tonight. They shot 23 free throws. The Nets only shot 28, so that's five more. But Wanamaker, you know, he's playing with effort, doing what he's supposed to. He's playing within the system instead of playing outside of the system, as Terry Rozier is prone to do. And at halftime, this guy's a leading scorer with 8 points. That's going to happen. That's more of a fluke than anything. And he did foul out. He did make a couple mistakes. He's Brad Wanamaker. But I think the effort that he showed, along with the effort that Robert Williams and Semi Ojeleye showed, both playing less than 10 minutes apiece, I don't understand why Brad isn't trying to work these guys who are low maintenance, high energy in for longer stretches. And not to sound ridiculous, not to say that Wanamaker, Rob Williams III, and Semi Ojeleye are the answer here, but especially in the case of Semi, when we're looking at Marcus Morris, who, despite his season 3-point percentage is still at 38, but that's mostly because the first half of the season he was shooting well over 40%. You've got this guy who's, I wouldn't say high maintenance as a wing, but he needs to be set up for shots because we've seen what happens when he tries to get his own shot. Flash Dad comes out, ISO Moot comes out, and it's a negative for the entire team. Everyone involved, it doesn't benefit anybody. Very unfortunate that that's what seems to happen every time he is tasked with getting his own shot, but it is what it is. Semi Ojeleye, on the other hand, known for high energy, known for playing great defense, he doesn't need the ball at all, and he's liable to knock down that wide-open corner three. And I'm not saying he's a better basketball player than Marcus Morris at this point. We're looking at a team that struggles mightily for certain stretches defensively, struggles to play with purpose, struggles to play with energy. I don't understand why a guy like Semi Ojeleye isn't getting even a little bit more run just to inject some life into the team. I'm not saying he's going to go out there and inject life into you like a bench player like Lou Williams does. That's not going to happen. But he's a guy who, like Marcus Smart, will dive on the floor after a loose ball, play hard defense, do the little things to get your team riled up, to get your team playing hard again. And the Celtics love him to death. The second that switch turns off, the second that play hard switch turns off, last year it seemed like they could regain it. You know, they go down 16, 17 points, and you're like, all right, here it comes. Here comes the comeback. This year they get down that many points in the beginning of the third quarter, and it's over. I'm thinking about packing up immediately because they just don't seem to have that fight when certain players are on the floor. And I know that a lot of people are out there thinking, well, they don't have that fight when Kyrie's out there. But we've seen it all season, Kyrie's dedication of the defensive end. He's diving on floors for loose balls, just like Smart. Not with the success rate that Smart has. He's not the psychopath that Marcus Smart is. But you're seeing an effort from him. And I think I didn't see it as much tonight as I expected it to, especially in the beginning of the game and even before the game, where people, you know, are looking to see the team without Kyrie, because there is the notion, you know, with a lot of Celtics Nation that he's gone this offseason, and we're going to have to be looking towards the future, what they're going to do when that guy's gone. But right now, the people who are saying, oh, they play better without Kyrie, they play better when Rozier starts, I want you to look at a game like tonight. I want you to look close at a game like tonight. I don't care that it's the second half of a back-to-back. I don't care that our best two players were out. I don't care about any of that. Regardless of all that stuff, you shouldn't lose all purpose, all energy, all fight for 7 to 8 minutes at a time
unless, regardless of how good D'Angelo Russell is, whether you think he's the most improved player, he was an all-star. He's playing extremely well. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA. Regardless of how well that guy's playing, you cannot let him put 20 on you in one quarter. What do they think Giannis is going to do? Embiid, Ben Simmons. When they get in the playoffs, there are better players who are liable to do the same thing if you don't bring that energy. And I understand. I've said it right along. I believe in this team in the playoffs. Change it all. But unless I start to see that energy, especially in the postseason, this team isn't going to win the games that they won last year. They won so many games last year off of just sheer wanting it more. They were down 28 to Houston in December last year, and they came back and won that game. In the two biggest plays, Marcus Smart drawing offensive fouls against James Harden. They just haven't had those moments like that this year, and it's incredibly disappointing. Coming into this season, you look at the talent they have, and it looked like the Celtics were so much more talented than everyone in the East that a lot of people were saying it's going to be a cakewalk for this team. I never really bought that. I thought they were more talented than all the other teams. And I think on paper, you look at how young they are, especially at the wings with Jalen and Jason, and then you look at Kyrie and Al Horford, and I think they are still one of the most talented teams in the Eastern Conference, if not the most talented. But where talent is there, cohesion is not. And this team has been disjointed from the very first handful of games this season. I keep going back to that Toronto game. I believe it was the first Friday of the season, or maybe the following week, where all those shots were open and the Celtics just couldn't knock any of them down. And it just kept happening. And I did that show last night, and I've referenced this, like I said, a million times. I thought the shots would start falling at a higher clip this year. They obviously did. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be right in the middle of the pack. Anything can happen in the postseason, yada, yada, yada. That's all true. I'm not doubting any of that. I just thought that this team would find more resolve at some point this season to take a game like this, even if you don't win a game like this, because like I said, you know, at the jump, it's an uphill battle. You don't have your two best players. You're playing against a very scrappy Brooklyn team that, despite losing a couple of games in the past couple of weeks to fall down from the middle of the pack where they were to closer to the Eastern Conference playoff picture, they're a team that plays hard on their home floor. They're a team that really follows their leader in D'Angelo Russell and follows their vets like Damari Carroll and Jared Allen, you know, another young guy like D'Angelo Russell has a huge impact. You'd think that you don't go get beat 110-96. I understand the lead gets to 19 in the third quarter. You cut it to 11. You're within 8. You're within 10 a couple more times. At least I think right around 10 points. I think there'd be more resolve, and there just wasn't. There just wasn't at all. And that's one of the things that makes me the most nervous, is that lack of resolve. Because even though guys have proven that they're capable of doing it in the past, you have to keep doing it. I mean, and I hate to harp on him, because I really do like him. He was one of my favorite Celtics from the second he got drafted, and he still is one of my favorite Celtics. But Terry Ogier, this guy who last year, beginning and middle of the season, playing really well behind Kyrie, really, really well. Kyrie goes down, he starts, he puts up 30 points in his first start, puts up a triple-double the next start, goes into the playoffs. You know, we have the whole Eric Bledsoe thing. We have the game one step back to send it to overtime. We have all these moments. We have Scary Terry. We have him joining a podcast. We have him becoming honestly the main guard with a Puma Shoe contract this summer. We had such high expectations for this guy. And then, end of the season, against another playoff team, against a guy in D'Angelo Russell that they came out in the same draft, and just last week, people were poking some fun at Terry Ogier for getting cooked up in college by D'Angelo Russell when he was at Ohio State and Ogier was at Louisville. So, you know, there's a decent amount on the line right here for Ogier, and he just goes out, and in 27 minutes, he scores 2 points and plays abysmal defense the entire game. You just can't have that. And Marcus Morris, too. Yeah, I mean, complain about him a little bit less because of the points he scored. Without him, you get completely, completely blown out. But, I mean, maybe he's not taking those shots. They're spread around a little bit better. And I've said it a bunch. If you look at the field goal attempts for the game, Gordon Hayward leads with 12, Marcus Morris 11, Jaylen Brown with 10. So you've got the two guys that I'm lobbying for getting the most field goals with 12 and 10 shots, right, in Hayward and Brown. The second half, Hayward was able to dictate when he got his shots. He had the ball in his hands a lot, which I'll get to in a little bit, because I think that's their best second unit is when Hayward is running it. But for someone like Jaylen Brown playing, he played 31 minutes. He played more minutes than anyone on the team today, which is normally not the case. But his shots come so sporadically. And I won't front and admit, like, he played extremely well tonight. He airballed a couple balls that, you know, were easy a million times. Didn't shoot well from the line. No excuse for that. That's been a problem for him forever. Seemed like he got over the second half of last season. This season hasn't been as kind to him. But these two guys, they should have been the focal point of the game from the beginning. From the very, very beginning. And they just weren't. And that's one of the biggest issues I've had with Brad Stevens all season long, is that Jaylen Brown, after playing through an injured hand the first month and a half of the season, has been very good. Last 10 games, if you look at his numbers, he's still up around, you know, 48.7% from three. Gordon Hayward, in the month of March, shooting 55% from the field, which he's improved in field goal percentage every month this season. So you've got these two guys who, at the beginning of the season, everyone thought they were going to be two of the five, right? You've got these two guys that, despite slow starts to begin the season, have been coming on stronger since. And you've got a game like tonight where you're playing against a playoff team without your two best players, yet Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris are in the starting lineup. And I get it. I get it. Hayward and Brown have played well off the bench, and maybe you don't want to mess with that. And get some high leverage run. And it just didn't happen. Did they play the minutes tonight? Yes, but they didn't start. They didn't get the shots they should have. And it's just becoming problematic that Brad keeps bashing his head into a wall with these two players who haven't played well all season. Have they had their moments? Yes, especially Morris. He had a killer first half. So to say he hasn't played well all season is wrong. I'll take that back with him. Rozier, outside a couple highlights, I don't think he's been very good at all this year. Morris killed it the first half. I'm wrong in saying he hasn't played well. But since he cooled off, he's been bad. Rozier has been bad. Yet they continue to get a massive amount of run at the sake of other guys who deserve it more at this point. And I hate saying that because Morris and Rozier are going to be important in the playoffs. If you want to go deep in the playoffs, you have to have, you know, your 6, 7, 8, 9 guys off the bench. And depending on how you mix up the starters, whether or not Morris is in there, Hayward, Brown, you have to have those first 9 guys. And Morris and Rozier are firmly in those first 9 guys. You have to have them clicking on all cylinders when you reach the playoffs. And Rozier for the whole season and Morris for half of it, they haven't been able to click on really any cylinders. And that's beginning to make me more nervous than anything. You know, slow night with the call lines. I do want to remind you that the betonline.ag call lines are toll-free, 347-215-7771. Again, that's 347-215-7771. Go to clnsmedia.com/win. Use promo code CLNS for 50% cash back on your first deposit with betonline.ag. And right here at the middle of the show, we're going to hear a quick word from BetOnline.
Today's episode is powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, of course you want to find the best person for that job. Well, the odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and what they're looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. LinkedIn goes further. They include skills and background, interests, activities, and passions. This way, you'll get the most relevant and qualified candidate early on in the process, and you can spend more time on candidates you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs #1 in developing quality hires. So listen up. Post a job today at linkedin.com/garden and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/garden. Terms and conditions apply.
So we're back. Going to cut this one short tonight. I do have a couple more points that I want to hit on. Been a real negative show from me. And I understand that. And I think it's warranted. You go out and lose by, what, 14 points on the road to a team that you were beating after one quarter that, in all reality, you should be even without your top two guys. You're more talented It would be unfair to say the Celtics should beat them, but this is a very winnable game that for three quarters there was just no chance the Seas won. I mean, Terry Rozier continues to fumble away that free agent bag. It looked like he was going to be the number one guard on the market outside of your premier guards, you know what I mean? Outside of your Kyries and your Kembos. It looked like Terry Rozier was going to be that guy. A lot of talk, you know, of him going to Phoenix and being that 1-2 with Book. After this season, man, I'm not seeing the vision as much as I used to. Do I think Rozier is still a good player? Yeah. Guys who go out and have playoff runs like he did last year don't all of a sudden forget how to play basketball. I think he was, you know, thrown into a really tough situation this year. And I've touched on it before. It's not every day that two first round picks, I'm talking about Rozier and Brown, are told to take a step back for the good of the team. Normally first round picks are told to progress every single year. But you look at those two guys and they were told to take a lesser role than they ended the season with. And I understand that can be hard. But one guy seems to have figured it out and one guy hasn't. I was optimistic with how Rozier had been playing recently. Last 10 games, I think he had been shooting almost 40% from three, which was really good to see heading into the playoffs. Because of how he played last year, because like I said, you need him in the playoffs. The East is so much better this year than it was supposed to be. I mean, Kawhi gets traded over. The Bucks hire Coach Bud. The Sixers are the Sixers. Indiana obviously loses Oladipo, but they've played well since. D'Angelo Russell might be most improved player. Blake Griffin's having a monster season in Detroit. And you've got a couple scrappy teams down there in Miami and Orlando. Charlotte's still kicking around in the 10 seed. It's not looking as promising for them. But, I mean, 1-9, you've got teams who at the very least will go out there and play hard, except one. I think the one that we've seen the most inconsistent effort from is the Celtics. And it's really unfortunate because last year the thing that they rode the most was their effort. It was that number one ranked defense for most of the season. And even when it dropped after Utah came alive and Gobert became the anchor he's supposed to be, you know, on his way to another depoy. It's just disappointing to see that this Celtics team, despite having most of the same guys, can't dig deep for 35, 36, 37, 38 of the 48 minutes and just grind out a win. It's been – last night seems like a grinded out win, but it's still these runs, back and forth. It feels like it's been quite a while. Obviously, they did it against Cleveland earlier this week, but that's Cleveland. They're one of the worst teams in the NBA. That's not something to hang your hat on. Games like this one where you don't have the Kyrie and Al and you're going into a tough situation, those were the games that would be the most intriguing last season because you didn't really know what you were going to get, but you knew the Celtics were going to play hard. You knew the hospital Celtics were playing hard. They were going all out. And we're just not getting that this year. Even for Marcus Smart, I mean, I think Brad Brad made an effort to not play him as much tonight. He only played 21 minutes, so there's nothing to put on him. Aaron Baines played 17 minutes. He went down with an injury early, came back for a little bit later on, but did not play a whole hell of a lot. But those two players all season long have been two of the most scrappy, two of the hardest hustlers, two of the guys who've shown the most effort. And we saw that Brad made the chance to have the starting lineup be a little bit more Baines and Horford, to have those two bigs, two high effort bigs, two very good defensive bigs out in the lineup. And that allows you to move Marcus Morris to the bench. But it's just, there's just been so much inconsistency. And I think that's really the story of tonight. That's the story of the season. And that's the story of every time I've been on the show. There's going to be ups and downs every season. They're inevitable. The Warriors have ups and downs. Outside of the 73-9 year, there's been ups and downs. Last night, there's a bunch of controversy between Golden State and Minnesota and the referees. There are ups and downs for even the best teams. But for the Celtics, this year has felt like far more downs than ups. And that's wildly disappointing for a team this talented, a team this good, a team that for many was supposed to walk to the Eastern Conference at least. There are people out there talking about the potential for the Celtics winning in 7 games against Golden State. And I'm not saying that's out of the question now. I still believe in the Celtics. Being a Patriots fan for so long, for as long as I have, has taught me not to give up on teams that are talented and well-coached. And I'm not going to give up on the Celtics until they've lost 4 games in a playoff series. Just commenting on what I've been seeing the entire season and recently, and it's not encouraging. I won't say it's discouraging because, like I said, I feel fine. Playoffs are a completely new game. I don't think they have the switch like so many teams talk about. Oh, we're going to flip the switch. We're going to flip the switch. We're going to flip the switch. I don't think that really exists because I think the team we've talked about flipping the switch the most has been the Cavs over the past couple of years. And they had LeBron James. That's the switch. No comment on this year. That doesn't matter with what happened with the Lakers and playoff mode being activated. And, you know, he gets shut down for the remainder of the season today. Regardless of all of that, this idea that teams can flip a switch, I don't really believe. And I don't think the Celtics believe that. They haven't been talking like they're looking over these games. Kyrie's mentioned the playoffs a couple of times, and he said he was going to take some games off. And he did, like tonight. He probably could have played tonight. If this is a playoff game, I guarantee he's out there. I guarantee Al's out there. There just has to be more consistent effort. And I'm rambling. I understand that. I've been talking for 40 minutes about needing effort. And honestly, with a handful of games less in the season, that's one of the most discouraging things that I've had to do on this show is talk about effort in at the end of March, especially with a Celtics team that I never thought I'd have to talk about that with. But that is the case. That is the case with these Boston Celtics. With tonight's loss, it's just another, whatever the opposite of a notch in your belt is. They come out here and they play good for certain quarters, for certain stretches of time. And they look like the team we expected to see game in and game out. But it's all the other time when they play so poorly that even their good play can't counteract it. That's the most disappointing and most frustrating. And I know I took a lot of it out on Terry Rozier, and I took a lot of it out on Marcus Morris, and I stand by that. I think especially in tonight's game, they deserve most of the criticism. But you've got a coach that refused to change a lineup for months, even when one of the starters stopped being able to shoot. You have a coach that plays with Jaylen Brown's minutes and no one else, and then is hardest on him for being inconsistent. You have a team that just can't figure out what their identity is, and they don't have enough dog in them right now to just put their head down and start playing as hard as possible and getting to the rim and shooting free throws. You look back at the 2015 NBA Finals when the Cavaliers were without Kevin Love to start the season, and then after Game 1, Kyrie went down. The 2 games they won because they mucked everything up. And I'm not saying the Celtics need to play like 3 years ago Cleveland Cavaliers, because they don't. But when the games start to get out of hand, when D'Angelo Russell starts to hit every teardrop floater from anywhere on the floor, when he's pulling in transition from 3 and hitting it without even no defender was anywhere near him. Someone has to put their head down and get to the line. I understand that we as Celtics fans and we as Celtics Twitter have been extremely hard on Brad Stevens and his inability to call a timeout at the right time. But sometimes the players have to take it upon themselves to get to the line and get that breather, get a couple points, calm everything down. Instead, what we have is a backup point guard who dribbles down the floor all the way to a corner, turns it around, throws it out up to the top, gets the ball back and shoots with a bunch of time left in the shot clock. We have Jaylen Brown tonight, and I've tried to, you know, be positive for him and negative for other players, but tonight he has a couple air balls. You can't have that. You want to play yourself into a bigger role? You can't be airballing shots, not jumpers in the paint. I get it. Jared Dudley goes and airballs a deep three to end a quarter. That's acceptable. That's normal. Jaylen Brown running through the paint, something he's very good at, and not even hitting net, that's unacceptable. And like I said, it's a weird game. 6 p.m. Saturday, you don't have your two best players. You're playing against a team that's very hungry, a team that has Toronto on the horizon, one of the better teams. You have to win every game from here on out to keep those lower teams away from them, to keep that playoff spot that they so dearly covet after years of despair because of that KG Paul Pierce trade and not having your picks while also being one of the worst teams in the NBA. There was a lot stacked against the Celtics tonight, but their effort wasn't of a team that even thought they could overcome that. And for a team that heading into this year, I had championship aspirations for. You listen back to some of those summer shows where it was Bob and, you know, Bino and I, and I said that the Kawhi Leonard trade didn't scare me at all because I thought the Celtics were that good. And it's to be seen what happens in the playoffs. But that's how I felt about this team in June, July, August, during the summer. And now I don't really know what to feel. I'm confident in them because it's a clean slate once you get to the first round of the playoffs. But if you've got no foundation to build on, if you can't string together more than two good wins, more than three good wins, and even good efforts, man, if the Celtics go out there and lose a tough one night, D'Angelo Russell goes off for a third quarter, I mean, he's the most improved player. He's an all-star. He's playing a contract year. He might be a max player. It's going to happen, man. To go out and lose by 14 and just have stretches where you look like a pathetic basketball team, and that's really all I have to say about this game. It was discouraging. I was disappointed in a couple players in particular. I was disappointed that Baines didn't get to play as much as he obviously wanted because of an injury. Marcus Smart went down with a knee to his thigh. That was scary. An overall disappointing game that it's going to happen. Sure, it's going to happen. But to be sitting here talking about effort when the season's almost over, when the regular season is almost over, to still be talking about the Celtics' effort and their connectivity and their connectedness and fighting through screens and running the offense and chasing rebounds and playing good D. It doesn't feel great. I won't lie. It doesn't feel great. I'm going to stop before I go any farther, go into any Bill Simmons, Kevin O'Connor takes, because that's the last thing I want to do. And honestly, none of them are even on my mind. I do not wish Kyrie Irving got hurt. I do not wish the Celtics to blow it up, as both of those fine gentlemen would suggest. I don't feel great. And I felt good about the team mostly all season. It's been really the last couple of weeks that have really started to sour me. When they went to Golden State and won by 30, and then won Sacramento the following night without Kyrie, I felt great. Beat the Lakers on Saturday night, lose a tough one to the Clippers on a Sunday night, but that is what it is. I felt good about this team. I felt like I had been vindicated. I rode with them hard until then, and I felt like I was vindicated. But right now, I don't know what's up, and I get it. Said it a million times. Say it one more time. You don't have your two best players. It's going to happen. When you take guys like Kyrie Irving and Al Horford off the floor, you don't play as well. But you can't play like you did tonight. Brad can't coach like he did tonight. Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward have to be the focal point. Outside of Jason Tatum, they are the two most talented people on the team after Kyrie and Al Horford. And Tatum is sick. He still played 30 minutes, which, beyond me, he played like a person who was sick. Probably shouldn't have been out there. I mean, if you're gonna go all out and play horribly, I don't know why you're playing Jason Tatum, a guy who maybe otherwise wouldn't have played 30 minutes. I don't get it. I've had a lot of issues with Brad Stevens' rotations all year. I've had a lot of issues with Brad Stevens' lineups all year. But it is what it is. We're in the midst of the home stretch. We're really barreling towards the playoffs right now, and it's all about improving it in any way you can from here on out. It's going to be tough if you keep playing this inconsistently, but you've got the talent. It's just about combining the talent with the effort and playing with a purpose. So, yeah. Celtics lose 110-96 to the Brooklyn Nets. I am Taylor McLeod. This is the CLNS Media postgame show brought to you by betonline.ag. You're going to go to clnsmedia.com/win and use promo code CLNS50 for 50% cash back on your first deposit. Again, clnsmedia.com/win and use promo code CLNS50 for 50% cash back on your first deposit. Use BetOnline.ag, make some money, feel better than I do right now, and hope that our Celtics can figure it out before the first round of the playoffs is upon us. For Taylor McLeod and CLNS Media, see ya.